Hello and welcome to the Two Tones. It's episode 21, if you can believe that. Tony Moclair, Tony DeBolfo, Tone, how are you?
How are you, Tony? Where have all the weeks gone? It's flying, isn't it?
Well, it is. We're not quite on the trajectory we thought we may have been on a mere 4 weeks ago. Nonetheless, this is the year where we look for the diamonds in the dung heap, if you want to put it that way. We were, we went down valiantly. I would argue 62-point losers to GWS, who, my God, what a potent outfit.
Tony, yeah. No doubt about it. And look, we fought the good fight, I think, for three quarters. We fell away badly in the finish, and it was open slather at the end. Mm. But when you look at the opposition on Spotless Stadium, I mean, they haven't been beaten there by anyone. And that includes the league leaders Hawthorn this season.
I know, but it's you know, as they say, the graveyard of empires, that ground.
Oh, it is. And, you know, the wealth of talent on show, you know, for GWS and midfield. It was frightening, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Well, I kept thinking, you know, in my wildest dreams, that'll be us in a couple of years. Of course, it's not going to be, given the amount of resources that have been ploughed into that particular club. Thought the crowd was interesting. I was trying to work out what percentage were AFL employees seconded to act as GWS supporters. I don't know. Maybe they've got bigger fish to fry at the AFL. Who knows?
But I was heartened to see blue in the seats, Tony. There was a few people there, I believe, that did make the trip to Spotless Stadium. So I think that's very heartening. You know, we noticed that phenomenon, you know, before the bye against St Kilda, where as the away team we had the numbers.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably the greatest positive to take in many respects from the disappointments of the past two games, that we have got, good, clear-minded Carlton people assessing where the team and the club is heading and are jumping back on, and it's great to see.
That is a great point, Tone. And remember, the Carlton will be playing Sydney in Sydney, so we expect to see an even better turnout there.
Very much so.
When that game eventuates. There are a couple of talking points, as there always is, from the match, Tone. Gibber's 200th.
Well, it was lovely to see Bryce run out for game number 200. What a great shame was in the white Guernsey and away in Sydney. You know, it wasn't quite scripted the way we would have liked, but it was fantastic to see the Gibbs clan out in force and young Charlie out there with his dad as dad savoured the moment. So a lovely moment for Bryce Gibbs, and of course it will happen again this week for Andrew Walker in game number 200. It was disappointing that the game didn't go to script. 62-point loss is pretty emphatic in the finish. Who the hell was on Steve Johnson? Can you answer that question?
Where do you stop asking who the hell was on insert GWS player here? You know, they were like a cyborg army in the last quarter.
They were indeed. Well, you know, full credit to them. They're challenging for the big prize this year, make no mistake about it. And Daniele, producer, mentioned off air a moment ago how games of experience are now, the team are chalking up games with them experience, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust in each other and trust in their foot skills, which are immense, obviously.
And
lovely to watch. I might make this point. When I went on to have a look at the highlights on carltonfc.com.au, I was left wondering why half of the highlights featured with GWS goals. I thought, were we that bad?
Oh, well, look, it did fall away, admittedly, Tony, but I thought, you know, the team was pretty competitive, you know, for the most part. You know, it was a committed showing for three quarters. I suspect in the finish, when the strength of numbers took its toll, that it was, it did fall away. Let's make no mistake about it. And I suspect the coach would have been disappointed with the way the intensity, you know, tapered off. However, as I said, they're the competition benchmarks probably, GWS with Hawthorn. It's going to be a challenge for any team venturing into Spotless Stadium. Make no mistake, that's going to be a hard place to win 4 points, that's for sure.
Yeah, and will probably remain so for the next 3 years or so, you would have to say. The press conference, always interesting with Brendan Bolton. He mentioned with relation to Gibber that only 35, knew the man to talk to about this, Tony DeBolfo, only 35 players at, and he said, our club. I just thought,
You love that, don't you?
I love that, man. You know, 35 players at our club have played 200 games.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you think that, you know, there's been something like 1,175 senior players to have donned the Carlton Guernsey. 35 of 1,175 players isn't a lot in the scheme of things. So, that, you know, it just goes to show, I suppose, how hard the experience is of actually playing, preparing yourself and getting yourself right physically, mentally, week in, week out, 200 times. You know, that's over 10 years at the highest level. It's admirable, isn't it, to achieve the 200-game milestone. And Bryce has done it in pretty good time. I think he's the third youngest player after Robert Walls and Lance Whitnell to get to 200. Wow. So he hasn't, touch wood, had too many injuries to contend with.
I think it might be MDA, but anyway, continue on.
Whereas Andrew Walker has probably, it's taken him a lot longer, and he's been through so much duress to get to 200 games. So, but, you know, we dips our lids, Tony, to both Bryce and Andrew on realising these achievements for the Carlton Football Club. May there be many more games.
Well, exactly. And it's a wonderful thing. We do congratulate Bryce, and we do wish, of course, that the result was different. Just another talking point from the game, of course, Sam Doherty's performance has earned him a spot in the AFL Media Team's Team of the Week for Round 14.
Well, look, you know, what's nice about this, Tony, is that his performances are being acknowledged by independent types, you know, people that don't necessarily have an allegiance to the club. And that means that that his series of performances throughout the course of 2016 are being noticed well and truly. We've said for a long time that Sam Doherty's been in All-Australian form. It's clearly been a standout year for him. And, you know, at his tender age, the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. But I look at the way Sam Doherty plays, and it reminds me so much of Peter Dean, you know, that desperate, you know, no-holds-barred, you know, defender, steely-edged defender that just keeps, you know, putting himself in places, you know, mere mortals would otherwise not do.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching a man with contempt for his own safety.
Oh, yeah, it's great to watch. It's great, and it's so inspiring. I mean, we look at that as inspiring as supporters looking on, Tony, but I'm sure for the players around Sam Doherty, he must make them walk tall. He and Simpson are real barometers for the Carlton team circa 2016.
Well, and, you know, again, they were both battled manfully against GWS. I, watching the highlights, because I'd seen this, we're out to dinner on Saturday night. There was a big TV up there and the game was on.
Delightful.
And, yeah. I mean, I saw one passage of play in the third quarter when the margin was only about 18 points. So I thought, you know, technically we're still in with a shot. You know, when it comes to Carlton, I'm like the man who, the optimist, who gave him 50-50, who gave himself a 50-50 chance after a decapitation. I got there in the end. So watching the highlights, I watched this particular passage of play that I noticed on Saturday night. It was Doherty. Doherty had the ball. There was an arm over his shoulder. It should have been a free kick. He pressed on into the pack and was dispossessed of the ball. GWS were paid a free kick. Yes. I couldn't believe it. I watched the highlights. I was like in the movie JFK watching the Zapruder film frame by frame. Because from that free kick, GWS got a goal, and that's more or less where the floodgates opened.
Yes.
And, you know, that, I guess that was our last roll of the dice. If we were, look, I know I'm hoping against hope here. Just give it to me, will you? But you know, that's an example of just the commitment that Doherty has in the clinches.
Mercifully, the ending to that particular piece of footage wasn't quite as severe as the Zapruder film, Tony, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, it's, I'm delighted that Sam Doherty's work rate this year has been noticed, and long may it continue.
We absolutely hope
as we've said, counting for the BNF at the Carlton Football Club this year will be no easy feat.
It won't. There's been a lot of players that have put their hand up, and players, you know, that are perhaps more senior to Sam, you know, Cade Simpson, you know, Gibbs, they've all reinvented themselves as players, and they've brought this extra intensity and ferocity to the game. I think Simo was always like that, let's be honest. But they've certainly elevated their performances through 2016, which you have to say you know, credit to that man Bolton.
Yes.
He's really got the best out of the group that he's coaching.
He did mention consistency in the press conference a lot. That's certain. When look at it, you can fairly level that criticism at the playing group at the moment. A four-quarter effort is obviously the required result, not a three-quarter effort. Simon White's journey, I know I'm segueing a bit crookedly here, Tone, so bear with me. Simon White's effort on Heath Shaw, keeping him to 12 touches. Whitey's emergence as part of this reinvigorated playing group, I think, is really interesting to me. He's a... I know he's a very popular player at the club, and I would just love to see him blossom.
Yes. And I think if you look at Simon White's career, Tony, and again, it's been an up and down journey for him, injury driven. He got that horrific neck injury playing reserve grade football a year or two ago, which he had to overcome. But I think in many respects, he's Carlton's Mr. Fix-It, because if you look at some of the roles he's fulfilled. I mean, he did a great job on Heath Shaw at the weekend to basically negate his influence on the game. But he's also a player that's gone forward for Carlton. You know, he's capable of kicking a goal, taking a mark, kicking a goal. And he's also had jobs up the ground. I mean, it's not beyond the realms for him to do a tagging role in a midfielder. So I think he's a player that brings a little bit to the table in terms of his versatility. I think for Whitey, the most important thing is that he gets a little bit of consistency into his game. You know, a reasonable crack at it to string games together and hopefully... develop a body that's more hardened to the rigours that the game demands, because I think injury has really crueled him to a reasonable extent over recent years.
Yeah, he's not Robinson Crusoe there, though,
is he? He's not.
As far as, well, Carlton or the league goes in broader terms. It is, a big game against Collingwood. It's the Richard Pratt Cup.
Yes.
It's the old enemy, the filth. They had a big win on the weekend. They've had, thanks to their president's injudicious remarks, there's been a bit of turmoil at the club. We're hoping to give them, obviously, an ice cold bath on Saturday, July 2, 7:25, the evening of the election, Tone.
How about that? And might I say at this juncture that a little quirky point that's been identified by Julian Trentino, my colleague here at the Carlton Football Club in the media department, tells me that the last time that Carlton played on election day federally was in 74, which is, I think, when Gough got up over Sir Bill.
That was
Sir
a double
Billy
dissolution.
Was it not? Was that
it was.
Was that that year?
Yeah.
Regrettably, we went down to Hawthorn by 40 points here at Princes Park that particular afternoon. So let's trust that history does not repeat.
Well, that means, Tony, if you... Okay, so that's the ALP getting up in 74. You look at state
elections... That was where Sir Billy Stenton was quoted as saying, we didn't lose the 1974 election, we just didn't win enough votes to win it.
Oh, thank you, yes. Well, you remember the 99 state election, obviously, when Steve Brax got up?
Yes.
That was a preliminary final against Essendon.
I do indeed,
that
lovely day. Momentous occasion.
That was an ALP. So if you take... both of those.
Oh, you're calling Shorten.
Could Shorten be the next Prime Minister
of
Australia?
You are calling Shorten. You have made the call, Tony. You're going for the Shorten Carlton Quinella. Is that?
Well, it could be. You know, after Brexit and Iceland beating England, anything's possible.
And ironically, Shorten's a Collingwood man too.
Is he really?
I believe he. I know he's been known to frequent the Collingwood President's luncheon. I don't know whether he'd be there Saturday night. He might have other more pressing matters. But he's a Collingwood man, as I'm led to believe. So let's hope, that the boys can get over the line against the old enemy. It'd be lovely to see them do it. And there's a bit going on. There's a few little potential subplots to this game too, Tony, with Walker, as we mentioned. The debut what is it? Gossos.
Is it Sos?
Grandfather
or
of Serge, son of Stephen, is
we're
that right?
Getting son of Joe.
Yeah, we're getting son of Joe.
That's doing rounds.
But look, Jack Silvani must be particularly close. His form has been terrific for the Northern Blues, and wouldn't it be magnificent to see him run out onto the MCG against the traditional rival Saturday night, Tony?
That would be absolutely magnificent. You did mention we have been talking about 200 gamers, of course. It'd be great for Walks to get up, the first Indigenous Carlton player to reach the milestone of 200 games.
I've just had a look at some of the names that have played 200 plus.
Yeah.
And as you said, Andrew Walker's the first Carlton player to do so. Adam Goods heads a list of 372, but I won't go through all the names, but Michael O'Loughlin, Gavin Wanganeen, Peter Matera, Nicky Winmar, Daniel Wells, Lance Franklin, Chris Lewis, Byron Pickett, all of these players have played 200 games, so Indigenous players of league footy. But it's a select list, you know, there's probably about 15 to 20 all up. So again, you're looking at 20 players, Indigenous players, across the board in the history of league football. So again, it's rarefied air that Andrew Walker, exposes himself to. So he'll be joining an elite club come Saturday night.
Absolutely, magnificent list of players in their tone. The Silvani debut is... I mean, do you think Bolts might get to the point now where he says it's time just to blood new talent, that going forward we will see, you know, possibly McKay play before the end of the year? Do you reckon that will happen?
Yes, I do, but I qualify that by saying it will still be predicated on form. Those players have to show that they've made inroads at reserve grade level and warrant selection. So I don't think that the coach will basically hand senior games to those players you've mentioned on a silver platter. They will have had to have earned their selection. Mm. And as I say, I think Jack Silvani is probably on the cusp of senior selection because of what he's done, not who he is. Mm. So that would be my call on that. And the same with Harry Mackay. I mean, it's great that you've mentioned Harry Mackay. He had a half, I think, at the weekend in the VFL, at VFL level, got through unscathed and will just be better for the run. And hopefully he does string a few games together now. And as you say, if form warrants it, we will see him before season's end. Hopefully the same applies again with Charlie Curnow, that, you know, he's on the way back and we get him in too. So, look, you know, what is there, 9 games left for for the home and aways to run their course? There's still a lot of anticipation in those 9 games because of the players that we may see bob up, get a taste of senior league footy.
Well, then that's every reason to get along to the G this Saturday, 7:25. It is a Carlton home game.
It's
extremely important that as many bums as possible, blue bums, are on blue seats.
We want them to pack the joint tone. And another little lovely sidelight to this, another subplot, is that Cade Simpson, in running out this week, runs out for game number 256, which puts him on a par with the great Alex Jesolenko. And now in the top 10 of players to play the most games for the Carlton Football Club. Last week, it was a little known fact that Simo equaled Rats's record of 255 games. And this year, all being well, he will get past, I think, David Mackay, who's ahead of him on 263. Mm-hmm. And there's other players next year within reach, former players that are above him. But he's in the league now with, you know, we're talking Nichols and Craig Bradley and Stephen Silvani. I mean, it's great company. I did, earlier before the broadcast, speak to Brett Rattantone just to get his thoughts on it. And I'll just share a little quotation from what Rats had to say about Simo. "The biggest thing for Simo," he said, "is that his whole agenda has been to make Carlton better, and that's his legacy. He's true blue. He doesn't chase the accolades. He just wants to do his bit, and I think he should definitely go on." So that's high praise indeed from a respected 3-time Carlton Best and Fairest player and Premiership player who is looking on with admiration at the man that's just knocked him over with game number 255.
Well, exactly the sort of graciousness you'd expect from Brett Ratten, so no surprise there. Now, the Father-Son Academy children were at the club this week, Tony.
Oh, yes. It was magnificent, Tony, to be there and to see potentially the next generation of players coming through. I hate to put pressure on these kids, but it was magnificent to see them immersed to the club and all things Carlton. There was a staff meeting prior to the boys having a run where the young kids were introduced to the staff and all introduced themselves. I'm Jamie Koutafidis. My dad played for Carlton. Oh. It was a lovely moment.
How old are the Koutafidis boys?
Jamie, I'm not sure what the ages are. They're probably, maybe just hit their teens. I stand corrected there. But we had boys in the room like Jamie Koutafidis. We had three of I nearly said Roddy. Three of Matty Hogg's boys, McKenzie, Archer, and Darcy Hogg. The Piggery was on show there today, Tony, the three of them. Andrew Mackay's son, Charlie, was in the house. Two more of Sauce's boys were there, Tom and Ben Silvani. Dane Whitnell, son of Lance, was in the room. Yeah. Oscar Manton was there.
Great.
Tom Gleason, son of Adrian, was
Max
in the house.
Max Hanna. See here.
Max Hanna was here. Looks a likely type too. Magnificent shock of hair, I might say.
Well,
son
he
of the cranium.
Got that from his old man.
And Cody Walker was made a little cameo too. Son of Andrew. Now Cody Walker is probably known best to the staff and the players of the club because he's an absolute. He's the kick-to-kick king in the Carlton rooms after the game. When the footies come out, the little kids have a run. Cody Walker absolutely dominates down there.
So
it was fantastic to see them introduced to the Carlton staff today. And the boys had a lovely run here, light run. Sauce took them out into the paddock to have a kick. And they really, really relished the experience of being here where their fathers made their mark, so a good thing to see, Tone.
Well, that is, it's magnificent, from many fronts that the club is giving back to players who gave so much to the club itself, and that there's another generation coming through that hopefully we can just cherry pick.
That's true, and I think it's a sign of the club's maturity that the academy is in place and these things are sort of happening to, include everyone. We've talked recently about the women's team and what's being done behind the scenes to really build women's football and to get women involved in footy as a bona fide career path. And we're seeing the same platforms being put in place for, our potential players of tomorrow. So it augurs well for the club. I think it paints Carlton in a much better light.
We'll be seeing Juddy here before too long. Yes,
you're counting down the days.
I really am. I have a calendar at home. It's, it's exciting times. Well, Tone, that's about it from us. We will catch you next week on The Two Tones. I hope talking about a momentous victory against the oldest of enemies.
Yes, very much so, Tony. Let's hope it's a weekend for the Blues, not the Greens.
Couldn't agree more, Tone. Couldn't agree more. The Two Tones, Tony Moakley, Tony DeBolfo. Saying catch you next week and go Blues.